Accession number 11961, rule 2.
Mr. Ralph Miller, Reel 2. Could you tell me a bit about... we were talking about your training while you were at Budbrook Barracks area. What about your Lewis gun training? Did you actually get some training in that while you were there?
Yes.
Or did you have to go somewhere else to get it?
No, I got it there. I got it with the Warwick.
And could you how did they go about training you in the Lewis?
Well, the first thing they taught you, you see, the Lewis... The Lewis was like a plate on the top, see? Full of cartridges. See? Well, you got a couple of stands, just a stand to hold it. Well, when you set that going, there was only two things that you got to remember. Your first stoppage was an empty space in your magazine. Because you hadn't got the gas from that space, from the bullets that should be there, you haven't got the gas to put the other one in the breech, you see. Well, that's all there was in it.
That was the first. What was the second thing you were
The other one was pull again, and start firing again. That's the only two things was to do.
How did you practice with the Lewis at the ranges at all, or did you get a chance to actually fire it
while
you were training?
No, it was all in the country fields. In the country fields, I had to train on the Lewis. Of course, there was a Vickers gun, there was that, but I never went in for that. So all the lads had them.
What about bayonet training? Did you get any of that?
I used to toss bags of straw up, in an hour. You've got to run with your bayonet and push it through. Kick up as much noise as you can, you know.
Did they tell you to do that?
Yes, they tell you to shout and scream and make as much noise as you can. You know, when you're in a bayonet charge.
Now, that was actual bayonet charge, you know. Did they teach you bayonet fighting, you know, to use
Yes. You go front, and then if you were cut short, you bring your butt underneath. See, and catch him somewhere in his privates or something like that. You see what I mean?
Did you practice that amongst
yourself? Yes. Oh, no. Now we practice that on the straw bags of straw.
What about they might have been a bit early for hand grenades, bombs as they go. Did you get
it was early.
So you didn't get any bomb training?
Well, no.
While you were there,
we didn't get the first bomb we got. Was a Mills' hand grenade.
And when did you get that?
We've been in France.
I'll come back to that then.
Quite a long time.
What about what they might call tactical exercises? Did you have any of them at all? You know, training exercises or maneuvers?
We were training all the while, you see.
What sort of exercises would you do? I mean, of attacking positions or defending positions. Did you do any of that?
Well, defending.
Or pretending to attack, or
artillery
formation.
Yes. Of course, it's only sham. It isn't like the real thing. You know, it's like sham for warfare.
Did you realise that at the time, or is that something you realised after you'd been in France? I mean, did you think it was realistic while you were doing it?
Yes, of course. That leads you to understand that.
Was there any other training you can remember while you were at Budbrook?
No. No. Only the army training, drills, and guns, and shooting, and, you know.
What was a typical day like? I mean, what time would you start in the morning? You'd be in your tents, wouldn't
you? Well, your first parade was physical jerk. You had to be...
At what time would that be?
That'd be about 8 o'clock. And then you'd have about an hour of that. Fall in, have your breakfast.
And then what?
Well, then you'd fall in again and carry on with your usual practices.
And then your lunch, dinner.
Oh, then your dinner, that's right. We didn't know what lunch was. We never had a break from breakfast till dinner, then from dinner till tea.
And that was your solid training in those two halves.
Yeah,
After your tea, were you free then?
Yes, yes.
And would you get out?
If you behave yourself, or if you wasn't detailed for duties, if you were going to go on guard.
Oh, well, let's look at that. What happened if you had to go on
guard? Oh, well, you were going to get in there and camp and your buttons stick and polish your buttons up. A little button on the side of your hat. Line up for your guard. And there used to be one on the top. Officers come round and the best cleanly fella dismissed. His letter.
And was that, did they call it the stick? Was it the stick man in your battalion? Or, I mean, did they use that phrase, giving him the stick?
Yes. Give him the stick, yes.
And
he was let off, see?
Did you ever win it?
I done my best, but I never won it. There was always a little butt on the side, or in the hairdresser tonight, you know. Perhaps your hair was right short, but he'd say, see the hairdresser tonight. You'd had it.
How were there any tricks of the trade of getting your uniform ready? I mean, like getting a good polish on your boots. Do you remember any?
Spit and polish.
Spit and polish, spit and polish? Because people talk about it, but what was it? I mean, what would you do?
Well, anyway, it was a bit of polish, but you used to put some spit with it, and polish it up, and with it, that shined well, you know. A little bit of spit.
Now, so if you were the stick man, were you completely? Could you just go? You were off duty. I mean, if you won the stick, if you were excused, they were excused all duty that night.
Yeah, excused duty. Yeah.
Now, what happened if you were on the guard? What did you have to do if you didn't, like you did? You didn't get the stick and you were on the guard. What would you do?
Oh, well, you've got to say on and shut me down. You see, you're all through the night. The same thing applies if you're abroad. You see, you have to do three on, and somebody else, they come and relieve you, and sergeant or corporal brings three more up.
So they'd be in the guard room, and the guards would go around the camp.
That's
is that right?
Yes, sure.
And
the thing that used to amuse me, you'd go on guard for 2 years if you wanted to, and you'd have a rifle without a bullet. What do you do? I often thought to myself, I was once on guard, and...
Was this a
book
or later?
This is a long time after.
Tell it now, anyway. Tell me the story now. It's probably...
Well, I'll tell you the story, but of course... I was placed out on guard with my rifle and that, and it was somewhere I was having an infant, you know, like a fresh beginner, and I wouldn't suppose it would be above about the fourth or fifth God as I do this. And there was some cavalry there, see? Well, it was all like horse transport then. The lumbers and that, you know. Well, I sat on the side of a water truck. You know what? A water truck. I sat on there, and all at once, the ball must have come up, and he flushed. You know. I'd get a bullet and I'd get an empty rifle to protect myself. Father, no. If that hadn't been anybody, I couldn't have done anything. But a little scene like that was very startling. You know, it was just sitting on the end of a horse trough, and you know how a water flush, when it flushes, well, that's the way that went.
So that was being on guard, you know, while you were, Budbrook or anywhere. What you said that sometimes if you'd been in trouble or something, you'd have other duties. You know, did you ever get into trouble or have CB or anything like that yourself?
Oh
or
yeah.
Did you keep out of trouble?
Oh yes. I 6 of us got into trouble one day.
What was that for?
Well, that was when we come back from France.
Oh no, I mean before you went to France.
Oh,
did you
before
have any trouble
we went
there?
To France. Oh, well, you get a thing like that for being late on parade, or a little minor thing like that, but it would be a matter of confined to barracks for 2 or 3 days, or so many days CB, you see. Confined to barracks, they used to call that.
Was that... dislike being confined to barracks?
Well, no, it wasn't a serious crime. It didn't go against your army career at all.
Did you get into much trouble before you went to France, or was it just little things?
No.
What about... now, if you weren't CB, you could go out, could you? Now, I'm not quite sure where Budbrook was. Where's the nearest... What town's that in?
Where?
Budbrook. Which town's the nearest town?
Oh, well, that is... It's in Coventry.
It's in Coventry.
It's in Warwick, the same as... It's the Warwickshire Regiment. But the Budbrook is the badge of the Rugged Bear. It's a ragged bear up a pole. But the Warwick is an antelope, you see.
Now, so what would you do in the evening when you were allowed out? What would you do to amuse yourself before you went to France?
To amuse myself?
In the evening. How would you spend the time if you weren't on guard or CB?
You would take a stroll around down the town and or stop in the barracks and have a halfpenny game of bingo.
They played bingo, did they?
Yeah, well, you couldn't afford no more. Halfpenny a card, you know. And then a fellow would come and pick them all up and here we are, sell another lot of cards for halfpenny. He used to keep just 2 or 3 coppers out of it, you know, to pay for his trouble.
And did you go walking around Coventry much?
Yes, well, Warwick.
Warwick, sorry.
We used to walk around Warwick, yeah.
And what would you do? I mean, would you go to... Did you drink then? Would you go to a pub or...
Oh, no. We were too young for that. We wouldn't booze.
What about the local population, you know? How did you get on with them?
Yeah, very good. They were very good. They were very nice. Very good to us. Well, anybody that joined the forces at that time was appreciated, you know.
Now, in some notes that I've got here, I hear that you had a tattoo done while you were there.
Oh,
and what was the story behind that?
Well, I'll tell you what that was. You see, when we was the football, when we went and joined up, they advised us them days. They said, well, all you had was an identification disc. It was stamped out of a sort of... it wasn't metal. It was stamped out of something like this hall cloth, you know, with your name and your number on. Well, one of the lads, he's it in his head, he says, the best thing you can do is have a tattoo put on your arm. They're going to blow your arms off and take your head off. It's a 2-to-1 chance. If you're picked up, they can kill you. Well, at that time, Buffalo Bill was in Birmingham. They used to chuck balls up and shoot them with a revolver, you know.
The Wild West show.
Yes, the Wild West show, that's right. And
you know. Yeah, you've got the head and Buffalo Bill on your arm, on your right arm. And who did that for you?
Eh?
Who did that for you?
Oh, a fella in Sherlock Street, in Birmingham. It was all the go at that time, because people was recruiting, see? And they were having these tattoos put on, so as they'd be...
Did it hurt?
Distinguished. Oh, well, it smarted a little bit, you know. But I got a severe chastising, I did, when I got home.
That's from your parents? So you actually had it done before you joined up? Or while you were at Whitton?
No, while I joined up. But they seen it. I covered it for quite a long time. And when they seen it, I got a severe chastising.
You mentioned the haircut. You know, they said you have to see the barbers tonight. What haircut did they give you? I mean, was it like a skinhead cut, they call that? Could you describe what it looked like?
Yes. Oh, wow. Well, of course, that used to stop lice, you see, if you're living together in a tent.
How short would it be then?
What?
How short would your hair be?
Oh, as close as I could get it.
So it was like a skin.
Yes, as close as I could get it. The barber used to just run his clippers up and over the top and up the side.
That's the army barber.
That's where he comes short the sides, I think.
Right. Was there anything else about your time while you were at Budbrook?
No.
So in December, you went back to Whitton Barracks.
Thorpe Street and that went back to Thorpe Street. The 5th and 6th went back to Thorpe Street. Coventry went back to the 7th went back to Coventry. But we went back to Warwick. Well, we had a Christmas leave then, see. And after the Christmas leave, they all assembled.
What do you remember of that Christmas leave? I mean...
Ah, well, of course, what am I to say? We treated it as the last Christmas at home. You know, we thought, well, this is it. It might be the last. It might.
Did you realise what the fighting was like on the Western Front? I mean, had you met any veterans?
No. The only ones we met was some of our old sweats that come back from Mons. They'd come back from Mons because that was the Mons Star, you see. There was a Mons Star, then I believe there was a 15 Star, and then there was the General Service, and then there was the Victory, and then there was the Fallon Service. That's all the medals that was issued. And the First World War.
Now, the chaps you saw then were 1914 people. They hadn't really seen trench warfare then.
Oh, no, they were regular in the army before.
So they couldn't tell you about trench warfare then much?
No. Well, I need a bit of sleep while I was there.
Did you understand how bad it would be?
Eh?
Did you understand how bad it would be?
Well, no, nobody don't realise. As I've told Michael, there's more to it than meets the eye. You know, when you get lousy and...
I'll be coming on to it. What about... did you feel you were well trained? I mean, were you confident?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And were you proud of your battalion?
Oh, yes, we were. Very proud of it.
Was there rivalry between the other battalions?
No. We formed a 48th Division, the lot of us. We was on the borders of France and Belgium.
So I'm coming on to that. So when you had your embarkation leave, and then you went out to France in February 1916.
Yes, a second. I've got all these correspondents at home, you know.
What happened on the move then? What do you remember about when you left?
Well, we all moved down to Clevedon. Clevedon, that's the other side, Bristol. And
was that by train?
By train. Yes, troop train, you see. And I sent her.
Did you get any sort of a send off when you left? You know, from the.
Everybody all grumbled. All grumbled you. Come and send us out. You know. Flags of lion. But the trouble was, you see, that we all got on the troop train, and they had a hell of a lot of trouble to get it started, because there was young men and the sweethearts and that, you know, they couldn't get them on the train. But anyway,
you got a girlfriend you were leaving behind then, or?
Well, I had, but she was with my mother, you see, and my mother there went away, shedding a tear, and of course I got on and held up my courage and waved to them. But when we got to Clevedon, I sent her a card, you see, because at that time, I can't understand this war. At that time, everything was dead secret. Secrecy. There's no secrecy attached to that now. They tell them what they're going to do. Don't they?
That's the Iraqi war.
They're telling them what they do. We was cautioned, we was. I sent this card, leaving. Let you know when I get there, you know. And of course, when we sailed in the evening, we got there. Dusk, we started out at night. And when we went, we of course, it was loaded with troops, you see. There was sleeping down below the deck, and on the deck with the grey coats and that.
What was it like on board?
Oh, it was winter, February, you know. I was so Michael, and I dread this month.
How did you get from Clevedon to...
Eh?
What port did you leave the country from?
Southampton.
So you went to Clevedon, and then you had to go to Southampton.
We went to Clevedon, then we went to Southampton. And while I'm on the routine, I post this card to the wife. And when we got to Southampton, we boarded the boat.
Do you remember its name?
Pardon?
Do you remember its name?
The Margaret. And we went over, as we thought, we see the lights, and we thought, oh dear, we're here. Instead of that,
We were back in Southampton.
Why was that?
Well, we had mine this year. I can't answer for these things, but this is a rumour that went round the ship, you see. There was two destroyers forward and two destroyers at the aft, at the back. And they written one of the captains, rang or signalled and told our captain to turn back because he wasn't safe to proceed because it was a pack of submarines. So we were back in Southampton. And,
did you stay aboard?
Eh?
Did you stay aboard the ship?
Oh, we stayed aboard, yes, only for one night.
Was it uncomfortable on the ship?
No. Well, it was crowded, you know, but anyway, I made do with making us a square biscuit and some bully beef. It's a square meal, you know. But anyway, we proceeded and we got to Le Havre.
Do you remember morning. Anything else about? Do you remember the crossing? Was it your first time?
Eh?
Was it your first time on the ship?
Oh no! I'd travel. Yeah. Yes, I've been on ships before. I've been on steamer trips and long journeys. You know, my uncle was a foreman in the dockyard at Devonport. You see.
So you weren't seasick then?
No.
What were your first impressions when you got to France then?
Well, what did you say? Startling. It was startling, but it was snowing. About 3 inches of snow or 4 inches of snow. And we marched from Le Havre to Harfleur. I wouldn't know the mileage of that, to be precise. But it was a nasty bloody march, full pack, you know. It was full pack and it was slug all the way, you know. But anyhow,
did the French pay any attention to you? You know, the civilians.
The little kids, chocolate, wanted chocolate, you know. Yes, but I got on fairly well with them. But when we got there, there was rows of bell tents, you see, and we had to march single file and then branch off so many to a tent and get fixed in. Well, the snow was on the tents, you see. I was cautious not to wipe the snow off in case of overhead planes, you know, although they weren't very frequent.
German bombing.
Yes, but they weren't very frequent and we was never troubled. But we...
Was it cold in the tents?
Oh, well, good God. But then, with so many in a tent, you know, and your body heat sort of warmed it half as warm as what it actually would be if it was in on your own. But anyway.
David. Nice again.